Parshas Chayesara begins with Avraham Avinu returning from the Akedah, only to be met with a heartbreaking tragedy, the untimely passing of his wife Sarah. The pasuk says, Vayova Avraham, and Avraham came, Lispoid Lesara Velevkoisa. He came to Sarah's funeral to eulogize her and to cry over her. If you look into the Sefer Torah, we see that the letter Kav from the word Velevkoisa is written in a small, undersized script. Why is it written with a small Kav? So the Baal HaTorah explains, because Avraham didn't cry excessively over her passing. But if that's the case, why is the letter Kaf small? The word Velevkoisa is from the word Bechi, to cry. Then the base should have been small. Why the Kaf? So to find the answer, let's look at the letter which was shrunken, the letter Kaf. Take away the letter Kaf and then look at the rest of the word. The remaining letters configure Lebesa, to her house. What does that mean? So the reason Avraham did not cry too much over her death is because even though he loved Sarah very much, they went through so much together as a couple, they were even in the kirv business together, and there was such a strong bond between the two. But nevertheless, Avraham minimized the kaf and focused on the rest of the letters, Labesa, her home. As Sarah built the model home for Klal Yisrael, she built a home where every Jewish mother throughout history can emulate. Avraham realized the reason Hashem took her away so early is because she already accomplished her mission on this world. Sarah will always be known as the mother of Klal Yisrael, affectionately known throughout history as Sarah Imenu, the founding matriarch of the Jewish people. And that brought tremendous consolation to Avraham Avinu. And that is why he didn't cry excessively over her death. And perhaps this same concept is also what comforted Yitzchak Avinu. Sarah passes away suddenly and Yitzchak is shattered. He's lonely, he's heartbroken. But then Rivka comes into his life. And the pasuk says, Vayinochem Yitzchak achre imoy. And finally, Yitzchak is consoled. Why only now? So Rashi says, because Rivka reminded him of his mother Sarah. When Sarah was alive, Hayiner dalak me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. Every Erev Shabbos, when Sarah lit the candles, it miraculously stayed on until the following Erev Shabbos. But then, when she passed away, that miracle stopped. But now when Rivka joined the family, the miracle of the candle returned. So what specifically about a lit candle reminded Yitzchak of his mother? Why not because Rivka made the same potato giggle? Or she ironed his shirts the same way? What's the significance of Ner Daluk? So perhaps the idea is, a Ner serves as a metaphor. When you turn off the light, all the items in the room remain exactly where they were. However, since they are no longer visible, you can't benefit or fully appreciate their value. But when we turn the light back on and we see all the items we possess, only then do we truly recognize and appreciate the blessings we have in our lives. When we are oblivious to the blessings that Hashem bestows upon us, that's equivalent to sitting in a dark room. So all week long, we're running around, we're busy, we're hassled. There's often a lingering sense of dissatisfaction, a constant focus on what we lack. I want to expand my summer home, I want to upgrade my phone, buy a new car, go on vacation. In the haste, we don't take the time to appreciate what we already have. It's as if we are sitting in a dark room. But then finally Shabbos arrives. We light the candles, and the proverbial light goes on. Shabbos is from the word Sheves, to sit. We're not in the rat race anymore. We finally have a chance to sit down around the Shabbos table with our family and have an opportunity to evaluate and contemplate the blessings we have in our life. When Yitzchak saw the miracle of Ner Dalek, of his wife Rivka, he understood that his mother Sarah had already accomplished her mission on this world, and she passed on the baton. She passed on this concept of Labesa, the model Jewish home, to the next generation, to his wife Rivka. And that is what consoled him. And this brings to mind an unbelievable story I heard recently. There was a couple from Lakewood that were expecting their eighth child. They had seven girls. This story goes back about 40 years. Before cell phones, before Easy Pass. The husband gets a call on his pager. It's time to go. They get into the car and there's terrible traffic right before the toll booth. He sees that all the way on the right, there's an emergency lane. So he cuts across all the lanes, takes the emergency lane and speeds off. A minute later, he hears a siren from a police car. He gets pulled over. Tells the officer, "My wife is about to give birth." And the officer says, "Follow me." And he clears the way for them all the way into Manhattan. They arrived at the hospital just in the nick of time. And mazel tov, she gives birth. And she has a, you guessed it, her eighth girl. The next morning, he's driving back to Lakewood. He pulls up to the toll booth and he tells the woman there, "I'd like to pay $6 for two fears." And she tells him, "So what was it?" And he says, "What was what? Did your wife have a boy or a girl?" And he's stunned. He says, "It was a girl. But how did you know?" And she tells him something so incredible. "Last night when the officer came back from escorting you to Manhattan, he gathered us and he told us in the next 24 hours or so, there will be a Jewish man going back south and he will ask to pay for two fears. When that happens, ask him, was it a boy or a girl?" Mika Amcha Yisrael. Which other nation in the world can the officers say that about? Labesa. Sarah's legacy and integrity. She passed that down, the model home, to the model nation. And now, we know. Have a wonderful day.